It's time for your sports. 1580, 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. Caldwell County baseball and softball in action today, weather permitting. The Lady Tigers have a home game scheduled against Murray High today. The Tiger baseball team is scheduled to play two games in the Mustang Invitational at McCracken County. The Tigers will take on Callaway County at noon, and then will play Hickman County at 5:30 today, according to the baseball schedule. So no broadcast today. Our next broadcast here on WPKY is coming up on Monday when the Tigers play Lyon County in the second region All-A Classic baseball tournament down in Eddyville. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk lots of high school sports with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com, and we'll get to that right after this. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Need cash fast? Contact ABC Finance now.
Are you concerned about your current financial situation?
At ABC Finance, we can help.
Hi, this is Savannah Seymour at the Princeton ABC Finance location.
And this is Todd Morris at the Hopkinsville location.
At ABC Finance, we don't just provide loans, but we also provide valuable advice to help you get your credit in better standing.
Our friendly team of professionals has your best interest in mind, and we celebrate with you whenever your finances improve.
We encourage you to like our Facebook page, ABC Finance. Many of those useful tips are posted daily on our page, including tons of community info and motivation for the day.
Who couldn't use that? You can also visit us at abcfinanceonline.com, where you can even apply for loans online.
Or just give us a call and we can take your application over the phone. Or stop by. No appointment is needed and walk-ins are welcome.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
At Tricios, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricios in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit tricios.com. That's tricios.com.
Life is busy. We get it. That's why at First Southern National Bank, we are launching a new experience for customers. Our drive-thrus are being replaced with full access banking lanes that utilize new technology to give you greater convenience. You can now do almost everything you could do inside the bank or at the ATM, all from your car. Tellers are available via video to assist you if needed, and bank services now have extended hours. Learn more at fsnb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Traveling the Bluegrass with Holst Allen Watts has another busy week. Allen, where are you traveling this week?
Braden Burks talks about education initiatives for the Kentucky Junior Cattlemen's Association. Shelby Wright with DeKalb and Askro discusses farmer optimism in 2023. University of Maryland's Dr. Kelly Hamby discusses the benefits of seed treatments on crops. And Warren Beeler discusses the need to tell the agriculture story.
That's Traveling the Bluegrass weekdays around 6 a.m. and after the WPKY Noon News Edge.
At YourSportsEdge.com, we strive every day to continue to bring you the gold standard in high school sports coverage with more on your teams and your players.
Where did it show up there?
And while they are not gold, those crystal awards we have won for doing what we love to do are pretty cool, too.
Something you see every day.
The Kentucky Broadcaster's Best Digital Product Award winner.
Ball game over.
YourSportsEdge.com.
This is the Sideline Report here on 1580, 103.3 WPKY, talking now with Scott Brown from YourSportsEdge.com. And Scott, as always, we say this every time we get together, but a busy time of year in sports.
It is spring, one of the busiest times that we have, and there's a lot of fluidity with it because of the weather and the fact that everything in the spring is outdoors. In the fall, volleyball's inside, in the winter, of course, basketball. And archery, swimming's inside, but in the springtime, everything's outside, and you're kind of at the whim of Mother Nature. And if she's in a good mood, you can get some games in, but if not, there's a lot of scrambling and some miserable conditions you have to sit through.
Yeah, you have to kind of play it by ear sometimes in the spring sports. And, you know, we're always trying to track down baseball and softball sites and where those games might be moved because of the weather. But seems like schools and teams have a little bit better handle on that these days. Back in the day, if you had a big rain, it seemed like you were done for a week. But a lot of people now have tarps and those kind of things. They can really work on their fields. And so you can have a heavy rain one day, but still end up having games the next day.
It's really a lot different than it used to be because of that, number one. You have that Camden clay they like to put down that absorbs that water and keeps it from puddling on the surface. You have the field treatments you could put down. But at the same time, scheduling philosophies are different too. Now you overschedule. And if it's not a district game, you don't scramble to make it up. You just, all right, you know, we'll try and play it next year or whenever. You know, I remember Trigg County and Hopkins Central were on the schedule every year for a home and away. And for seven straight years, they both got rained out and never got made up. And so, you know, you can play 30, I think it is. You schedule 40 because you know you're going to lose about 10 games during the year. And so I think the scheduling philosophy is a little different. So, you know, I know that you put something up about the all-time wins leaders for Caldwell County. And one of the somebody commented about, well, yeah, they play so many games now. You know, when I play, we only play 12 games. And part of that was because of that scheduling philosophy. Instead of just scheduling a game every day, you know, you would schedule two games a week. And if one or both got rained out, you may go a week and a half and not play a game, which today is unheard of.
Well, and one thing in regards to baseball, I can remember when most of the fields in this area had all dirt infields. I know Caldwell County did until at least the early 1980s. I think Trigg County did, Lyon County, Crittenden County, Livingston Central. So if you had a heavy rain with all that dirt on the infield, you probably didn't play for 3 or 4 days.
If that, maybe even more.
Yeah.
So, it's different these days than it used to be. From a field treatment standpoint and from a scheduling standpoint.
You look at high school baseball in the second region this season, and Scott, I don't remember where the field has been so wide open. Going into the season, we thought that defending champion Christian County would probably be the number one team, and they still may be. But as you look at teams across the region, there may be 7, 8, or 9 teams that legitimately could make a run to the region championship game this year.
In 2018, it was a wide-open field, and Union County came out of that. 2018 was Christian County, because Union no-hit Trigg in the semifinals, and then Christian no-hit them in the championship. But as you said, from being wide open with as many teams that could win it, I'm with you. It's been a long time since that can happen. And the thing is, not only could a district champion win the region, there's a couple of districts where the runner-up has a legitimate shot at winning the region.
Right. Well, you just look at teams like University Heights Academy that kind of came out of nowhere this year. I don't think a lot of people had them up toward the top of the list in the second region. But the Blazers have proven that they can play with just about everybody.
They have. And, and they had a late coaching change, too, that usually doesn't happen with a team that has a lot of expectations. And so they were able to get that fixed and settled. And, Ian Tyler, one of the top up-and-coming pitchers in the region, they've got some kids who can hit the ball. And that 8th district, there's going to be a really good baseball team not go to the region tournament this year between Hopkinsville, Christian County, and UHA.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting district. And you look around at other teams, Lyon County is really awfully young, but at the same time, there's some experience on that team. And I think Lyon County is one of those teams that could kind of go from being a dark horse to maybe being a big contender by the time the season starts to wind down.
A lot of people talk about the region draw in basketball, and I don't think that there's a sport where the region draw is as important as it is in baseball.
Yeah.
Just because of pitching.
You have to line your pitching up.
You have to line your pitching up, and if you get a good draw where you might can throw off, and save your best pitcher for the championship. That's not advisable, but depending on the draw, you know, Ricky Baker was able to do that last year, and he was able to save, you know, his best pitcher for the region championship, and it worked. And that came after it burned him at All-A 2 years ago, where he was trying to save his best pitcher, and UHA beat him in the first round. So depending on that draw, it just depends on, are you confident enough in your 2 and 3 pitcher to pitch that opener? And then do you bring your ace back for the second game and the number 2 back for the championship? Or do you go, you know, 3-2-1 and save your ace for the last? It really just depends on matchups and things like that. But the draw will be very important for baseball this year.
Well, and a lot of that comes back to coaching philosophy. Some coaches will say if you lose in the first round of the regional or if you lose in the championship game of the regional, you still lost at the regional. So they're going to try to line things up to give themselves the best chance to win it. Other teams want to get to the regional tournament and just see how long they can hang around. You know, we want to win that first game, then we'll worry about the second game, and then we'll worry about the next game. And some coaches approach it one way, and some coaches approach it the other.
It really is. You've got your conservative people that are going to be like, I've got to pitch my ace first because there's no sense in saving a kid for a game that we may not play in. And then you've got some coaches that are like, look, you know, our end game is not making it to region. Our end game is winning the region. And so I've got to have my best pitcher in that championship game. So we're going to try and get there with our 2s and 3s and 4s and then hopefully do that. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And that's the biggest second guessing game there is, because if it works, you're a genius. And if it doesn't work, right, what are you thinking?
Well, when Caldwell won back-to-back regions in 2016 and 2017, the Tigers beat Union County in the championship game each year. And Union County actually did Caldwell a bit of a favor, because Union took out one of the big dogs in the first round, but by the time they got to the championship game, Union County was just about out of its best pitching, and those Caldwell teams were really pitching deep, and so Caldwell was set up better once you got to the championship game.
Yeah, it just depends on how much depth you have, how much depth you think you have, and how effective they are. I've seen pitchers pitch their ace, and the bats not show up.
Right.
You know, I watched Jake Terrell strike out 15 or 16 in a region or in a district semifinal. Trigg didn't hit the ball. Lost 1-0, you know, on an eighth inning squeeze play. You know, it doesn't matter about the pitching. You got to have the sticks. And if you got a team that can score you 12, 13 runs, you can get by with pitching your 2, 3, or 4 early on.
I think Union County is another team this year that could sneak into that championship game again. I think Caldwell County is a team that could get there. Tigers not overly deep, but have a couple of pretty good pitchers that could get you a win or two in the regional tournament, and their hitting seems to be getting better. So not a lot of depth on that team, at least yet. But, again, I still say there's 7, 8, maybe 9 teams with a legitimate shot at getting there.
Right. And again, from a depth standpoint, it's wide open. I don't think that no team has cemented themselves as an odds-on favorite. I know UHA with their number one beat Christian County with their number one, but then Christian County threw their number 3 5 days later and shut them out 10-0.
Right.
So, you know, Hopkinsville, they've got 2 good pitchers with Thompson and Moss. If they can hit the ball, they're going to be, you know, a tough team to deal with. But as we said, one of those teams isn't making it to the region tournament. Lyon County appears to be the favorite in the 5th district. Trigg County appears to be a co-favorite or a number 2 team in that district. They can hit the ball. There's some inconsistencies with their bats and with their fielding, but when they put everything together, they're going to be a tough out for somebody. You know, Henderson County in the 6th and Union County in the 6th, and you can't count Webster County out because they can hit the ball. And, you know, they find a way to score runs. 7th District, you've seen them, Madisonville and Caldwell County. And like we said, it's a very deep baseball region this year.
Yeah, it's going to be fun when we get to postseason play for baseball. And you start looking at softball, I think it's kind of the opposite. Softball looks to me like it's a two-horse race this season.
I just think you can mail the trophy to Henderson County right now. They are just a solid team top to bottom. They've beaten all of the region favorites this year, beaten them handily. They beat Madisonville by I think 5 or 6 runs. They one-hit Christian County and Mercy ruled them. They've beaten Caldwell County. I don't think they've played Livingston. Those are the schools I consider to be the top teams in the region right now. Henderson's got 4 or 5 girls that have either signed or committed to college already. And three of those are underclassmen. I mean, they're solid. And I mean, it just continues that theme of Henderson County's girls sports. They're the region favorites in every sport they play in right now, whether it's soccer, volleyball, even though they didn't win it this past year, Madisonville did, but Henderson was the defending region champs. Basketball, they've won 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 11. Softball, they've won, 2 out of 3. They're girls right now. They are in a dynasty of girls sports in high school right now in Henderson County. How long will it last? I don't know. And when it does start to fall off, there it's going to be like that scene in Airplane where they're trying to calm the hysterical woman down, and there's a long line of people waiting to beat the crap out of her. That's how it's going to be when things fall off at Henderson County. There's going to be a line of people saying, all right, it's time to get ours now.
Yeah. Henderson County ranked number 4 in the state. Madisonville North Hopkins ranked number 10 in the state. So those are both top 25, top 10 programs here in the second region. Now, as far as what's behind them, you mentioned Christian County, Livingston Central, Caldwell County. Webster County has been a bit of a surprise this year.
They have. They've always had a good, solid squad. Even, you know, when Carly Keeney was pitching there, you know, they were top 5 in the region every year, and they probably still are at this point. Not a lot of people talking about them. Now, I want to see them get into the meat of their schedule and play some, you know, good teams back-to-back and, you know, see what happens when they play a Madisonville on a Monday and a Christian County on a Tuesday and a Henderson on a Thursday. But yes, when you look at their record, Webster County is good. And that's going to be a 3-team district where a good team is not going to make it to region between them, Henderson, and Union. Union's young. They've got some talent. And if they're hitting the ball well, they're going to be a tough out for somebody if they make it to the region. The 5th district, I think Livingston's the favorite. Trigg County is young. They're about 2 years away from really realizing how good they're going to be. So I call this a gravy year for them. Whatever they do right now is gravy. There's no expectations for them to go out and win 20 games and win a district title. But if they do, it's gravy. Lyon County, they're going to be there in the end. They're going to be hitting the ball at some point. They're trying to find themselves, and they're not far away. I mean, they're going to be doing well. 8th district is Christian County, and probably Hopkinsville is the second best team there. And then, of course, the 7th district, Madisonville and Caldwell. So if you took Henderson County out of the equation, we'd be saying the same thing in softball that we were in baseball, that there's probably about 3, 4, 5 teams that could win it. But Henderson is so far out in front of everybody else, it's going to take some unusual circumstances for that to change.
Yeah, there's a big gap in the softball level of play than what we talked about in baseball, with all those teams in baseball that have a chance to get to that region championship game. I think if you're looking at softball right now, the draw will be everything at the regional tournament. You're hoping to get there, and you're hoping to look up and see Henderson County and Madisonville on the other side. Maybe you can make a run to the championship game and just take your chances then.
Yeah, Henderson's just so good, though. I mean, you know, Kemp pitching, and they just hit the ball so well. You know, they took it on the chin this past weekend against some really good competition. But it's gonna be a fun season to watch. I think that you know, Christian County, everybody thought Henderson was going to run away with it last year, and Christian played them to a 2-1 game, I think it was, in the region championship, had their chances. So, you never know, you know, when the screws tighten a little bit and, you know, you feel that pressure, you never know what happens when you get to the postseason.
Interesting thing about spring sports, at least to me, you come out of the winter sports and it really seems like basketball goes for 5 months sometimes. It just seems like it's a long, stretched out season. And I know everybody loves basketball, and I do too, but sometimes it just seems like, and maybe it's because it's cold and we're in the middle of winter and it just seems longer, but seems like when you get into the spring sports, it almost seems like it's a sprint from the first of the season until you get to the tournament time and you start looking at things, and the second region tournament's really not all that many weeks away for a lot of these sports.
It isn't, and that comes with distractions along the way, especially for seniors, like senior trips and prom, graduation, and, you know, senior this and senior that, and, you know, there are some distractions that are going to have to be built in along the way. But I think the fact that the weather's good is what makes it, you know, when the weather's good, time flies.
Right.
You know, I've always said the fastest vacations I go on are from the beach, because the weather's so good, you know. And I've been on some vacations, you know, either in the mountains or up north when the weather hadn't been good, and it kind of drags a little bit. But everything flies when the weather's good, and I think that's one of the reasons why it seems like spring just kind of is over with before you know it.
Well, and I've always said that the spring sports seems like they're more laid back than the other sports. Not that they're not competitive, not that people aren't out there working hard and getting ready, but I think we're just, you know, the sun's out. Hopefully you get a nice warm breeze going. It's not winter. You're not stuck in the house anymore. We're all happy to be outside watching a ball game, and it just seems like the whole situation with baseball, softball, tennis, track, just a little more, I don't know, like I said, laid back, a little more happy time for everybody.
Had been too happy the first couple of weeks of the season, the way the weather's gone, though. It's been rather chilly outside. It's been some brutal weather. I've heard the word brutal used to describe the first 2 weeks of the spring sports season, probably more than any other adjective.
We're talking this morning with Scott Brown from YourSportsEdge.com. We need to get to a timeout on the show, but we'll be back right after this. Stay with us as we roll on the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Now's the time to make sure you and your family are financially taken care of for life. Call Josh Ray with Woodman Life at 270-625-0307.
Here's a look at your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast. Showers and thunderstorms overnight. Winds gusty as well. Low temperature around 45. Rain coming to an end by mid-morning, warming up to 54. Friday, mostly cloudy, high of 60. More sunshine on Saturday with a high of 64 and warming up into the 70s by Easter. Again, showers and thunderstorms overnight, low of 45.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to Pro Shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Trice Hughes Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Trice Hughes in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
Come by The Joint in Eddyville for mouth-watering smoked meats and flavorful sides, now with a brand new look. They've remodeled the interior to give you an even better experience and can't wait for you to see it. Stop by Tuesday through Sunday and enjoy the same great food and service you have grown accustomed to. Find The Joint online for more information and to book their catering services. The Joint is the perfect spot for a quick lunch or a fun night out. Come see for yourself. They can't wait to serve you.
Hello, this is Brad Harrelson with First Southern National Bank. There is little doubt that many are facing financial hardships in our country today. The statistics can be startling to look at, with as many as 70% of Americans having less than $1,000 saved for emergencies. While it can be easy to point fingers, the truth of the matter is that many folks lack the basic financial knowledge to avoid these pitfalls. To meet this need, First Southern has provided financial literacy resources so that the people of our communities can be better equipped to face the financial challenges life throws their way. We invite you to explore the Financial Literacy Resource Center at FSMB.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. We do want to remind you that baseball and softball action is set for today. The Lady Tigers have a home date scheduled with Murray High School. That action is set to begin about 5:30 at Lady Tiger Field at the Ratliff Park Complex today, if the weather allows. Also, the Tiger baseball team on the road today. The Tigers playing two games in the Mustang Invitational at McCracken County High School in Paducah. The Tigers set to take on Callaway County at noon today, and then the Tigers will be playing Hickman County at about 5:30. Coming up next week, the Tigers and Lady Tigers will play in the second region All-A Classics. The Lady Tigers have a home game on Monday in quarterfinal round action of that event, hosting Fort Campbell at Lady Tiger Field. Meanwhile, the Tiger baseball team will go on the road for its quarterfinal round matchup. The Tigers play at Lyon County on Monday, and we'll have that baseball game for you Monday from Lyon County right here on WPKY. Stay with us. We'll have coverage of both teams next week, but we'll have to play it by ear as the teams advance on in the second region All-A Classic baseball and softball tournaments. We'll continue our conversation with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. When we come back, stay with us. You're listening to the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
BNC Unique Boutique. Ladies of all ages will enjoy shopping for the latest fashions, clothing, jewelry, shoes, and gifts. BNC Unique Boutique, Princeton and Grand Rivers, Kentucky.
Chance of showers and thunderstorms overnight, ending by mid-morning. The overnight low temperature around 45 degrees. Winds gusting as high as 20 miles per hour, warming up to only 54 degrees today. The rain comes to an end tonight. Friday, mostly cloudy, high of 60, 64 on Saturday, 70 on Easter Sunday, and 71 on Monday. Again, showers and thunderstorms overnight, low of 45.
Fredonia Valley Bank is proud of our area senior athletes and is celebrating their accomplishments. They're sharing special senior stories featuring the class of 23 in a senior spotlight. Follow YourSportsEdge.com or download the app and listen for updates on 103.3 WPKY. As Fredonia Valley Bank gives our senior athletes a special moment to shine.
Hi, this is Jim Lancaster with H&R AgriPower. Need a new tractor, zero-turn mower, utility vehicle? Try it and buy it at the Kubota Field Event Saturday, April 15th at H&R AgriPower at one of our biggest sales events of the year. Demo subcompact, compact, utility tractors, and more. Ask about our competitive financing offers, get a coupon for up to $250, and enter for a chance to win an Orca cooler. Don't miss our Kubota Field Event Saturday, April 15th, 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at H&R AgriPower, 4900 Eagle Way in Hopkinsville.
At YourSportsEdge.com, we strive every day to continue to bring you the gold standard in high school sports coverage with more on your teams and your players.
Where did it show up there?
And while they are not gold, those crystal awards we have won for doing what we love to do are pretty cool, too.
Something you see every day.
The Kentucky Broadcaster's Best Digital Product Award winner.
Ball game over.
YourSportsEdge.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. We appreciate you tuning in this morning. We're talking all kind of sports this morning with Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. Talking high school baseball and softball, and we're going to stay on that for just a little bit longer because we were talking tournament time. And if you're a smaller school or even a mid-sized school, Scott, you've got tournament time coming up in the next week or so.
You do. All-A Classic and Class 2A sectionals both next week at different locations. And both All-A tournaments are going to be interesting ones to watch, I think.
Yeah, you look at baseball and early round matchup there has Caldwell County at Lyon County. That could be a matchup that sees one of those teams end up in the championship game later in the week. And on the other side of the draw, I think UAJ has proven that it's probably the favorite there, so you could probably end up with a UAJ versus Lyon County or a UAJ versus Caldwell County in the second region All-A Classic baseball finale.
Yeah, University Heights is a good team that's going to have to find some pitching depth. We talked about that a little bit earlier, in that once Ian Tyler's not pitching, they threw six arms at Christian County the other night, and none of them, well, one of them had some effect, but that was about it. But, you know, when you look at the, you look at the RPI, which it's a flawed system because it doesn't take into account margin of victory, but the top two teams in the second region are all A schools, UHA and Lyon County. UHA 6-2, Lyon County 6-3, Christian County's third, Caldwell County's fourth at 5-4. And then you trickle down and you've got Crittenden County, Dawson Springs, Fort Campbell, Livingston Central, and then Heritage Christian. So, yeah, I would say UHA and Lyon County, and I would put Caldwell County in that favorites role for the All-A region for baseball.
Yeah, the Tigers will play at Lyon County on Monday, and we'll actually have that broadcast for you here on WPKY as the Tigers and Lions battle in a first-round matchup Monday down at Lee S. Jones Park. On the softball side of things, you've got Caldwell County and Livingston Central that are probably the two highest-rated teams in the region as far as All-A teams go. Those two teams could actually meet in a semifinal matchup.
Which isn't a surprise. That's usually when the championship game is played, is once it gets there. Livingston, the number four team in the RPI. Henderson, Madisonville, and Webster are 1, 2, and 3. Then you got Livingston, and then a bit of a drop-off, which, again, I don't agree with these. Caldwell County, they're not the sixth best team in the region. One way. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Eighth best team in the region. Caldwell, Crittenden, and Lyon are grouped right there together. Fort Campbell, UHA, Dawson, and Heritage are in that third tier. But I'm curious to see what Livingston Central does. They're the defending fifth district champions. Got a new coach. Monty Todd coached them last year. He's at Trigg County this year. Matt Hargrove is coaching the softball team. They've got some solid wins under their belt. They got a Christian County team coming up tonight. That's one I want to see how that one plays out. I know they do too. And, you know, it's not like Livingston hasn't had good teams before. They were in the state tournament. In fact, they won the All-A Classic State Tournament in 14, I think it was.
One of those years.
Yeah, and then that's when Stan Head coached them. And then they advanced to the region championship game, lost on a Kaylee Tao walk-off grand slam.
Yeah, they were a legitimate top 25 team in the state during that time. Not in All-A, but in the big state.
Yeah, regular state. So it's not like there's no tradition at Livingston. They've got a cycle of kids coming up, and all of their girls' sports are going to be pretty decent for the next few years.
Caldwell County softball opens at home in the All-A Classic on Monday against Fort Campbell. Livingston Central will go to University Heights Academy in a first-round matchup. But, Scott, I think Caldwell and Livingston, the prohibitive favorites in those two first-round games to get to the semifinals on Tuesday.
I would agree with that.
Other side of the bracket, you've got Crittenden at Dawson and Heritage Christian at Lyon County. Lyon County, an awfully young team, but could be an interesting situation where we see how quickly Lyon County grows up and kind of becomes a challenger.
Yeah, Heritage is not bad. They're a pretty good team. I think Lyon County's starting to hit the ball now when the weather warms up. Lily Perry has thrown an awful lot of pitches, though, early in the season, and they're going to have to get some pitching depth because if she's not able to go or there's some arm weariness, you know, they're going to have a number two step in and be able to pitch. But that's an interesting one to watch, but I think Lyon County would be considered the favorite in that one.
The All-A Classic Regionals begin on Monday with games at different sites in the first round. After that, for Tuesday's semifinals and Thursday's championship round, softball goes to Lyon County for those matchups, and then baseball goes to Livingston Central. So, Scott, that'll keep us hopping back and forth between Smithland and Eddyville next week to keep up with the All-A.
Yeah, Todd, they do a good job of rotating those locations around the region. And so, it's kind of like basketball. You know, everybody kind of gets their shot at hosting at some point. So it'll keep us busy. And after All-A, They move on to the sectional round, and then those sectional winners move on to the All-A Classic State Tournament, which is at different locations this year for state.
Yeah, I believe state baseball for the All-A Classic is at Campbellsville this year. State softball is at Owensboro. Of course, Owensboro gets to take the 16 regional champions, but for baseball, the first region and second region will play each other. And this year, it's the year for the second region to go down to the first region. So I think Carlisle County is looking pretty good as the favorite down in the first region. So whichever team wins the second region in baseball will end up maybe going to Carlisle County for a sectional game there.
Yeah, they've been pretty good for the last few years. But this year especially, they look pretty good. Then you got the Class 2A sectionals next week as well. Trigg County, Callaway County, Webster County, Union County, Hopkins Central, Paducah, Tillman, they make up that sectional. And whoever wins that section goes on and advances on to their Class 2A state tournament as well. So next week, a very busy week. Hopefully the weather at the first part of the week doesn't throw a monkey in the wrench, so to speak, for the rest of the week.
Yeah, hopefully everything works out. And, of course, we'll have coverage of the All-A Classic and the 2A championships of our teams at yoursportsedge.com. Changing gears a little bit now, we've had about a week to try to digest some of the new rules in Major League Baseball. Opening day, of course, was last week for MLB. Scott, what's kind of some of your thoughts on the changes? I guess the big thing is the pitch clock.
I don't like it. I know it shortens the games quite a bit, but, you know, NASCAR went through this a few years ago, and, you know, well, nobody wants to stick around and watch a four-hour race. And so they come up with the idea to break it down into sections, and this is the section winner. The section winner ratings haven't went up because of it. Baseball is going to experience the same problem. They're trying to cater to a specific group of people who don't watch baseball and never will watch baseball. My older brother does not like baseball, never has. Pitch clock's not going to make him watch it, all right? If I go to a ball game and I spend money to park my car and I spend money on tickets and I spend money on a souvenir, I spend money on concessions, and I'm in and out of there in 2 hours and 18 minutes, I'm not happy. I don't mind a four-hour experience at a ball game, especially when you go to places like Wrigley Field or Dodger Stadium or Fenway, a historic park where you want to soak that in and spend that time there. But, you know, baseball was a sport without a clock. And you want to shorten ball games? What they need to do is the amount of time it takes the pitcher to take the mound when the inning begins. That's where a lot of your drag time is. You'll see a guy ground out, and they'll cut to the dugout, and the pitcher's toweling down his face and taking a drink, and it's like you just waited till the third out of the inning to do all of that, and then they grab a glove and walk out, and that's several minutes. You want to shorten the game of baseball? Make in-between innings shorter. Cut out the breaks that, you know. I watched a game last year, set my stopwatch. It took 4.5 minutes from out to the first pitch of the next inning. 4.5 minutes. That's 9 minutes an inning, all right? Yeah. And over a nine-inning game, that's 81 minutes of nothing.
Well, of commercials.
Of commercials.
Yeah. That's
so
what,
if you cut that in half, that now takes 40 minutes off your ball game time.
But
that's the easiest thing to do without going through a pitch clock and all of this other stuff.
But that gets back, though, that they're not going to cut out the commercials. And one of the reasons the pitchers stay on the bench for another minute and a half after that last out is because they know there's that 3.5 to 4 minute commercial break built in. So there's no sense in going out and warming up and waiting for, you know, to come back from commercial. So they just stay in the dugout and kind of chill a little bit longer. But
it's the equivalent to watching the national title game in basketball when they add an extra media timeout in there. I mean, you know there's going to be a media timeout at 16, 12, 8, and 4, and then they throw another one in, and it's like, my goodness, you know, they're taking breaks all the time.
Well, not to sidetrack it, but I've always wondered why in college basketball all timeouts called by a team aren't just 30-second timeouts, because you know you're getting the 3 or 4 minute media timeout, like you say, at four different times. And back to baseball, that's the thing. They have all these commercial breaks built in, so they can't take those out. But I think the shortening of the game is not for the folks that go to the ballpark. It's for the consumers on TV that are watching the game. We want to make it shorter for them, and we want to make sure that we don't go over our broadcast window of, you know, you have 3 or 3.5 hours. We want to start getting the game in there so that broadcasters are not having a 4.5 to 5 hour game that they then have to try to fix later to get their TV shows back in order.
I just want somebody to find me someone who says, you know what, now they've got that pitch clock, I've started watching baseball all the time. You're not going to find that. And it's the same way with NASCAR. I don't think you've got too many people who have started watching NASCAR. Hey, I can't wait for that third segment. You know, I mean, I get it. The races were long. You know what you do? You shorten the race. You know, shorten the race. I mean, you know, you got the Daytona 500. Well, 500 miles is a long. Why don't we make it the Daytona 300? Yeah. I mean, seriously. I mean, you use less gas. Strategies would be different, and you're in and out in 2.5 hours. But they're not going to do that yet. They take a sport like baseball that has no clock and say, "All right, we're gonna make you pitch faster." And I mean, they've already put a limit on relief pitchers. They have to pitch to three batters. You don't get the righty lefty thing anymore. You have to pitch. You got to pitch to three batters. And they also limit the number of times that a catcher can go out and talk to the mound.
And you can only throw over to first base twice now.
Right.
So,
but. I don't know. Just leave some things alone. There are just some things you got to leave alone. If it's a good ball game, it's going to be played in 2 hours and 45 minutes, 3 hours anyway. You know, where the games take long is maybe a pitching change, but the timeouts in between innings.
Well, if the average sports fan wanted less sports, you would see something like LIV Golf take off, and it certainly hasn't. And we're going to see some of the LIV guys and the Masters this week, and that's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. But I'm not sure. Of course, I'm not sure I'm the average sports fan, but I'm the guy that watches a Major League Baseball game when I don't have a rooting interest, and I hope that it goes to extra innings so that I get more baseball. I'm the one that watches, you know, golf and hope that it comes down to a playoff because I want more golf and I want the excitement of the playoff. So I don't guess I fall into the average sports fan category.
Right, and again, just like I said, I just think they're catering to a group of people who don't watch baseball and never will.
I think I could live with a DH. I think I could actually live with a pitch clock if they would modify it a little bit. I don't want key situations in the eighth and ninth innings coming down to somebody having to hurry up and pitch or somebody being called out on strikes because they weren't in the batter's box in time.
Well, the brutal part of this was the Sergio Romo incident. Sergio Romo signed with the Giants, all right, so that he could retire with the Giants. So in the spring training game, they make a pitching change, and they bring in Sergio Romo for his final appearance as a Giant, all right? He throws his last warm-up pitch, now pitching for the San Francisco Giants, Sergio Romo, standing ovation from the crowd, tips his hat. When it's over, the umpire walks out and says it took over 15 seconds, ball one.
Oh.
I saw where Marcus Stroman, who was the opening day winner for the Cubs, said there were several times where he wanted to take a full, deep breath to collect himself before he made the biggest pitch of the ball game, but he couldn't. He had to hurry up and pitch because it would have been a ball and violated the clock. I mean, it's things like that. You know, I like that matchup, that mental matchup between, you know, a pitcher who works fast and throws the other team off their game, or that pitcher who just takes forever and it's excruciating and it makes the hitter mad and they step out. You know, that's the mental part. That's what makes baseball great, are those matchups.
Well, and that's somehow how you hold a runner at first base, is you hold the ball a little longer one time, you pitch a little quicker the next time. Like I said, I'm not completely against the pitch clock, but I think some concessions need to be made. And what happens if a guy hits a monumental home run, a, an historical home run. Now you don't even have time for a curtain call for that guy because the next batter has to be in the box and the next pitcher has to be throwing a pitch. So I don't know. Sometimes I think we just need to go back and find a rule book from 1945 and for baseball, and let's go by those rules. It worked out pretty good.
What's amazing is when you watch, of course, ESPN Classic is no more, but if you have the MLB Network or even YouTube and you watch the old Yankee Royal American League Championship Series from the late 70s, Mike Torres pitches, gets the ball, stares in, pitches, gets the ball, stares in, pitches. I mean, he gets it and he works fast. And somewhere along the line, pitchers have worked slower and slower and slower. And I understand the need to rein them in a bit, but I just don't know that a clock is the best way to do it.
Going to be interesting. I think a lot of people, though, have kind of liked the changes. It's kind of growing on some people, so we'll see how that goes. Scott, I appreciate you being on the show today. Like we said earlier, some busy times coming up with the All-A Classic and the Class 2A Championships, and before you know it, the end of the year district and regional tournaments will be on us, and not just baseball and softball, but we've got postseasons approaching for tennis and track, so going to be a lot of fun times over the next month and a half.
It is. I like spring sports. I like being outside, whether it's baseball, softball, track, even tennis. It's fun when the weather's good, and you just hope that people will behave a little bit and enjoy the outdoor sports.
All right, Scott, appreciate you being on the show this week.
All right, appreciate it as always, Todd.
That's Scott Brown of YourSportsEdge.com. That's going to wrap us up on this Thursday morning's Sideline Report. Thanks a lot for being with us. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. You've been listening to the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.